It's quite significant, I mean, the word in which the Lord's laid on my heart. I was going to do a further week. I always planned three, I've done two, on the Father Heart of God, the love of God. But I woke up on Monday morning, I think it was, and it's interesting the word that you brought, that I was just crying out, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And it was just ringing, ringing and ringing with me. And then there was a further morning later in the week when it was ringing and ringing again was that word. And you know, I felt for quite some time now that God wants us to step up. God's going to send revival in different parts of the world, and we want to be a part of it, and we believe we are going to be. But the ministry of the love of God, I personally believe that it's very difficult for us as a people to receive when we're struggling with many of the issues in which we are. When we don't see breakthrough in significant healings, major healings, we you know, we've looked for. And even sometimes the smaller healings, we think to ourselves, we read the Bible, we learn from that that God loves us and he wants to heal us. He's desperate to heal his children. He loves us so much that he would put his son on that cross and die for us. And we've talked about that, you know, within the context of the love of God. And I heard a testimony this morning before coming to church of this girl that had been healed. She's now gone 5 years. She had fibromyalgia. Eventually diagnosed with it. And I mean, and she was confined to a wheelchair. She had to go to a clinic every day, receive injections. I mean, just to cope with, I mean, the pain and the discomfort. And one day, she actually saw Jesus. Now, she says this wasn't a vision, a dream. She said, I could see him right in front of me. And she said he came to me and he showed me the holes in his hands. And she said you could still see blood there on his hands. And then she says he came really close to me. And she could see the scars on his face, around his face. Because, you know, he was marred even on his face. That he was not recognizable as a man. He'd been that abused. And then she said, he showed me his back. And she says it's a wrong translation. His stripes on his back. She said they are like grooves, 2 inches, some of them, where flesh was just pulled from his back. She said you could see these grooves right across his back. And this girl found her healing in the revelation of that. And I wanted to go this morning through some of the things that will often hinder us in our time. Let's just turn, shall we, to 2 Chronicles. Many of you know this, 2 Chronicles 7. I'm in 1 Chronicles. If any of you get there, you need to go a bit further forward and get into 2 Chronicles. Okay. In verse 14. Because, you know, it's burning in my heart this week that I don't want to pastor a church where we're not seeing the signs and wonders that God wants to do. I want to be pastoring a church where the lame walk, the blind see, and we see the significant healings. Bill Johnson says that we are contending for within 3 miles of our church that we do not see cancer. We do not see cancer. Maybe sometime or other we ought to contend that we don't see colds and flu, and maybe start on that level. I want to see it. I want to see it in our church. And I believe God does. Is that right? On Friday, it'll be 1 year since Karen and I became pastors as a church. I'd done pastoral work before with Chris and travelled to many, many countries. I've seen a lot of people healed, seen a lot of people saved. Been to about 15 countries on 5 continents. But I am hungry to see it in our home base. I'm hungry to see more of God move through his people. I don't want any more funerals in here. We've had one in the last year. I don't want them. Unless it's their time actually to go. Is there somebody here with something wrong with their right leg? Circulation? Thing? In your legs, tingling. Where are you? Is it your right leg? Sciatica. Okay, come on out. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just put your hand where it is. Okay? Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We believe, Lord, in the Word of God that says, by his stripes we were healed. And Lord, we rebuke this pain. And we tell it to go right now in the name of Jesus. We curse the seed of the enemy. It didn't come from God, didn't that pain? And when he says that the lame will walk and the blind will see, things like sciatica make people lame. But Lord, we contend right now that we will, as a church, see the lame walking. We'll see people set free. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Walk up and down a little bit and see how you feel. How's that? It's fine. Well, there you are. God wants us to see this all the time. Amen? Amen. Is that right? Amen. I want this to be normal church. Normal church. That people can come here when they feel, you know, quite often what we do is, if we don't feel very well, we don't tend to go to church. Is that right? If we're sick, we don't go to church. But I want us to feel that that's the place I want to get to. And I'll tell you, I believe the Lord is saying that there is coming a time when people will go to the church before they'll go to the doctors. Because they know they can believe this word of God as regards healing and have more confidence in it than what the doctor would say. Amen? Does anybody else feel like that? Yes. It's coming. We will see it. We will see it with our own eyes. We hear about it in other parts of the world. But we want it here. And we are going to see it here. Is that right? So let's just read some more of this. I listed 10 things that were hindrances to prayer. But in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 14, if my people, have we got some of them here? Do you qualify for that? If my people, who are called by my name, that's us, isn't it? Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Do you know something? If you do what he said at the beginning, if you and I do that, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, what do you get? You get he will be attentive to your prayers. Who wants him to be attentive to their prayers? Do you know, we've got people who need jobs. We've got people who need healing. We've got people who need relationships restored. But God says in his word that this is what he will do if we take the first part, humble ourselves. So the first thing I've got on this list here is one, love. 1 Corinthians 13, our ministry does not operate, you know, without love. Read that and it'll tell you. Faith works through love. Is that right? Is that what the Bible says? So it's important that we know that we are loved. But there's so much disappointment in the body of Christ, you know, because they haven't been able to get through, they haven't got, you know, freedom from their struggles. And so therefore, somebody comes in here and says, God loves you. He loves you with an love, but you go home and you're still struggling. And it's hard to believe it. But when we see more healings like this, and we say God heals him because he loves him, because he's paid the price for him, it starts to stir our confidence in this loving God. And we start to believe that he loves us. Says in the word that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen? So love is so important. Proverbs 21:13. Proverbs 21:13. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. You know, unless we have the revelation of that love that he has for us, we won't feel like we need to give away to others. That's why this revelation of the fact that he loves us is so important. We won't have the enthusiasm to give or to pray for somebody if we're living in that disappointment ourselves. There was a preacher who said to God one day, and I've heard about another one that said something similar, And he actually cried out to God and he says, Lord, you could actually give us real power and the lame would walk and the blind and it'd be absolutely fantastic and what have you. Give us that power that, well, Lord, we can just see amazing things now. He said, if I gave you that power because of the lack of love within you, it'd be great while you were in church, but then you go out on the motorway and somebody cuts you off, you'd actually blow him away with the power of your words. Love has to be cultivated with inside us. And I told the other week about Chris Vallotton in Bill Johnson's church when he said that I was going along praying for people and love had gone in my heart. So he spent 6 months away seeking God until the love and the compassion came back. Our prayers will not be effective without this understanding of God's love for us. Amen? And, of course, for the people that we're praying for. Number two, pride and selfishness. You know, this is linked with be humble. God resists the proud. These scriptures I've got, for those who are making notes of them, I'm not going to turn to them because of time. But there's James 4:3 and James 4:6. You don't want God resisting you, do you? When you come to him and you're ill, or your children are struggling, or you need another job, you don't want coming to him and because of pride in your heart, you don't want God resisting you. But that's what it says in the scripture there. He resists the proud. And that's why the, one of the main ingredients of actually coming before God in our prayer life and our connection and our intimacy with him is that we come with that humility, that childlike confidence as we come and connect with him and bring our petitions. Amen? The third one is unbelief and doubt. And I'm in danger here of spending too much time on this one because of the fact that unbelief and doubt, an absence of faith and an absence of confidence in him. We must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we are not coming with that understanding that we can think, oh, well, I hope he does heal me. I hope he does listen to me today. There's enough in this word that actually should cause that confidence to rise up inside us. That we know, just like that girl when she saw Jesus right before him. She could see that he'd paid the price for her healing. Whatever was needed, he had so much love and compassion for her. 2-inch grooves in his back, 39 of them, an expression of his love, should cause the confidence to rise up in us that he wants to heal us. Amen. Faith works through love. Another scripture that you can look at as well is James 2:24. Disobedience. We're going to have to turn to some scripture here. Proverbs 10:24. I'm trying to actually get us as a church to just rise up these things off that have hindered us. To get into that place where we have the hunger to run after God and believe him that he wants to do it here, not just in outer Mongolia or somewhere, but he wants to do it here We had a word in there when we were praying that God wants us as a church to take a step up. We've come so far in Him. We've seen blessings. We've seen God bless this church financially. We've seen Him bless us in many other ways. Some of the giftings and abilities that we've got within the people in here, He's blessed us. But He wants to take us up another level. And I believe He's saying to us this morning, come on, folks. You can come up another level. Believe me. Believe me. Have confidence. Disobedience, yeah. Proverbs 10:24. What the wicked dreads will overtake him. What the righteous desire will be granted. Do you know, some of the things that have hindered us, you know, shake off the thing that hinders you. Shake it off. It's time to press into God. Have we not got another one, Joe? We bought another a few weeks ago, and it packed up, didn't it? So, anyway, where were we? Disobedience. Time to shake off the thing that hinders us and press into the things of God. Some of you are struggling with things that you've struggled with them for years. And it's time to shake it off and to press into God. Amen? Family discord, 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. For He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen? That's just an aside, a little bit extra. 1 Peter 3:7. So that nothing will hinder your Here we are. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is exactly what we're looking at this morning. How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? You know, it might be that you need another job. It might be that you need healing. It might be that your children need something. It's time, folks, to get our relationships right. When revival comes, Karen mentioned this morning, was it? Reminding me of something that I'd said quite some time ago. And that is that it's time to get our relationships right. Because revival will highlight the good and the bad. We want revival. We want good things to come in this church. But it just highlights the bad as well. You find that the struggles that we have in relationships often become bigger during those times of revival. One of the reasons why Toronto was so successful is because of the fact that they worked on that sort of stuff long before it came. That you got right with your mom, you got right with your dad, you got right with your children. They brought reconciliation. Because the split and division would have been bigger and had more of an effect after revival come. So now is the time, folks, to shake off these things that hinder our prayers. Amen. Number 6, unforgiveness. Now, obviously, that might be a part of the family discord, the importance of forgiving. You know that I was reading it this morning, and I ain't going to turn to this one because most of you know it, that if we do not forgive, He does not forgive us. Now, if that's not an hindrance to your prayers, I don't know what is. But I will tell you about a lady I prayed for in Wolverhampton, a number of years ago. They brought her out, and she got two crutches. Two ladies were helping her. She had arthritis throughout her body, back, legs, arms. She was in pain 24/7. I prayed for her, nothing happened. I stepped back, I said, Lord, what is it? He says, she needs to forgive. I said to her, I said, there's somebody you need to forgive. She spilled a story. She, her and her sister were orphaned as babies. And they'd had one or two foster parents. And foster parents abused them. As soon as she forgave the foster parents, healing, I got halfway through my prayer, and I knew that she was healed. You could see the change on her body, her face, and she went out and she didn't need her crutches. She also told me that she had a problem with her heart, but I wouldn't know about that until they examined her as regards whether she were healed with a heart problem. The next morning, because we were there for a few days, the next morning she turns up, obviously, without crutches, no pain, and she brought her sister. Her sister had the same problem. She didn't look quite as bad, if I remember rightly. But she forgave, and she got healed. Whole. As regards both of them's heart problems, I don't know, because we move on, we come back home. But as regards the arthritis in their bodies, they were both healed. Amen? So one of the hindrances for prayer, number 6, is unforgiveness. And if you want to read more as regards that, read as regards the bloke who wouldn't forgive in Matthew 18. Number 7, honour. I believe that this is a massive, massive restriction to getting what we want from God. When Jesus went into his hometown, it actually says that God could not do anything much in terms of healing with them. It actually says he couldn't. He couldn't. Because they dishonored him. Isn't this the what? Is it? Isn't this, you know, his brothers and sisters? This fella's nobody. This fella's nobody. You're actually belittling his status by the debate that they had. God is very big on this. And I've spoken about it many, many times. There's areas in where we need to, you know, our society says we don't. You've got a right to say what you want, when you want, and to who you want. Not in God's eyes, he has order. And he actually takes these words as unto himself. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus? Struck him down. Paul, Paul, you know, why are you doing this against me? Me? Well, he thought he was doing it to people. But he took it as unto himself. So what you say and do to people that are his, he takes it as unto himself. And when he says that honour your parents, that things may go well with you and you may have long life, okay? If things are not going well with you, it's one area, I'm not saying it's this. Don't go away saying that, well, Dave Parker says it's because of the fact that we don't honour. No, it's an area you look at. Did I honour my parents or didn't I? I was a very, very worldly man before I got saved. And about 15 or 20 years after I got saved, I went back to my mom and I asked her to forgive me for the way I treated her home when I was single. Because I didn't honour my mum and dad. I don't think my mum understood what I was doing, but I felt I needed to do it. And with honouring your parents, there's a promise of long life. A promise of long life. You know, some people might be orphans. They might not know their parents. And something's cut right through to their heart, making them feel like that orphan, making them feel like they're parentless throughout their life. But they don't realize sometimes they probably need to forgive mom and dad just because they weren't there. Amen? Honor in all sorts of areas. School teachers. Did you honor your school teacher? I know I didn't. That's why I got the cane. All sorts of other things. On detention. You know, one of the rascals in the school. So, pastor, anybody, you know, people at work, your employer, how do you treat them? As Joyce Meyer once said, you know, are you the last one into work and the first one out? Are you the one that nicks the copy of paper? Should not be. Should not be. It's not honouring the person you work for. I think God would expect us to be the first one in and the last one out. In honour of the person, as regards whether they give you enough God with it. Amen? So, number 8, unconfessed sin. Regarding iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Psalms 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, open your heart up. John Arnott, who's coming in a fortnight, I mean, his wife said years ago, she said, I give you permission to dig in the garden of my heart. Give him permission to go in there and see if there's anything that you've buried that you don't want people to know about. You don't want to bring out into the open and confess it. Amen? It's too embarrassing. It's too painful. God is a loving, gentle God. He'll find a way for you to do it in that appropriate place. Amen? Amen. Religion and idolatry. He is a jealous God. Isaiah 5:20 says, in the last day, people will say, evil is good and blessing is wicked. We've had a twist in our culture in the way that we speak. If something's really good, you know, that music's good, we say it's wicked. We say it's wicked. Isn't it wicked? Oh, God turned up this morning and he healed 10 people. How wicked. What's that sound like? Should not be. And of the last days. It's a sign of the last days. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Twisting and distorting of our words. God considers it wicked. I won't say any more about that. Number 10, final one, not in God's will. 1 John 5:14 says, ask anything according to his will. Now, we've said as regards healing, I believe that healing is God's will. So you can pray that anytime you want with confidence. Is that right? You can pray that anytime you want, because he wants to heal. Why would he take 39 up to 2-inch gashes, slashes right across his back if he didn't want to heal? Hey? Why would he do that? In Deuteronomy, even in the Old Testament, he'd laid it out as regards healing. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 4 tells about the blessing. And from thereafter, it tells about the curses. Now, in one, you get healing. In the other, it tells you about the diseases that can come upon you. God's will, he said, walk this way with me. Be obedient to me and you'll be healed. It was always his will. But when Jesus came, he went on that cross. And he suffered the pain for you and me so we could have that healing. We could receive it. Amen? Yeah. Let's just stand, shall we? If the band will come back and play. I just want to take a few minutes now to... Do you know, some people might think, well, he's gone over 12 o'clock now, he's finished and what have you. You know, Catherine Coleman, she saw powerful healings in her meeting, became worldwide known. She was introduced, and she wouldn't come out on the platform until she felt the Holy Spirit behind her. Now, if it took her 20 minutes or 25 minutes, what's that going to do if we'd set a time at 12 o'clock? It's difficult for the people that are looking after children and what have you. I understand all that. And we don't want to put pressure on them. But also I want to facilitate a place where God can do something. His heart is aching to touch his people, to heal and restore his people. Amen? And give us them jobs that we need. Restore those relationships we need. Now, as the band leaders now, I just want you to do business with God. And I want you to just open your heart up. Maybe like Carol Arnott did and said, come and dig in the corner, the garden of my heart. You know, if there's something that's touched you this morning that you need to do business with God, do it. Amen? We've got a magnificent prayer team here that are just longing to minister to you, okay? They want to be the channel of God, that you get your healing, like that's happened this morning, that you get the pain taken from your heart, the blessing of God flow through you. But you know, as we move into another year, I want you to know that I'm not gonna settle for mediocre church. I want to be part of a church that sees this sort of thing happening. I want to be part of a church where I remember over a year ago when I'd stepped back and weren't doing any ministry or anything, and I woke up one Sunday morning, I couldn't contain myself. I was shouting it out. The Lord was saying to me, set my people free. Set my people free. It was for freedom Christ Jesus set us free. He wants you free to be all that he intended you to be, all that he created you to be. So let's just worship, shall we? And just do business with God. Amen.